Hi guys, I'm Katie.
And I'm Rebecca.
And this is Chills,
Thrills,
and Kills.
Yeah, and Katie is feeling a little bit under the weather.
Katie is feeling like hot garbage.
I mean, you're the hottest garbage.
Oh, that makes it so much better.
You're welcome. Yeah, so guys, if it's a little low energy, there's no weird tension between the two of us, and we still love what we're doing. Katie just doesn't feel well.
Not at all.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and jump into Katie's story so that she can go rest.
Okay, so I want to start with my sources. So I used TampaBay.com, NBCMiami.com, Ranker.com, DailyMail.com, and MysteriousUniverse.org.
Yay, professionalism! We're doing it!
So my story is on Danielle Harkins. Have you ever heard of her?
I want to say it sounds somewhat familiar, but I don't recall.
So I had never heard of her. I actually heard her name for the first time on the Scared to Death podcast. If you've never listened to them and you like just like storytelling with like no, there's really no banter during the stories. They're strictly paranormal. They don't really do true crime. So that one's a pretty good one. But I heard her name on that podcast. They didn't delve too much into her story. So, of course, I was curious. So, Danielle Harkins was a 35-year-old mother of two. She had a 2-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter. I'm not sure of their names, but I think, like, all of her family is disassociated with her now. So, I think that's why there's no names mentioned.
Yay.
Yeah. So, she was a literacy teacher at the Lealman and Asian Neighborhood Family Center in St. Petersburg, Florida. And that, just the name of that school kind of struck me as odd, the Asian Neighborhood Family Center. So I did a little bit of research into, like, as far as why it's called that, and there was no reason. It's not like a, yeah.
That's cute. Okay.
I think maybe it started off as, like, a predominantly Asian area, and then it didn't stick. So I guess they named the family center way too soon for that. But anyway, that's where she worked.
Okay.
Yeah. So most people knew her as level-headed, gentle. She was great at her job. She loved teaching kids. So she was a literacy teacher. So she taught reading, writing, English comprehension.
Okay.
So friends and family began noticing strange behavior from Danielle in June of 2012. They kind of all chalked it up to the fact that she had just gone through a pretty nasty divorce, and in this divorce, she lost custody of her children. So everybody kind of said, you know, of course she would be down because she no longer has her kids. She just went through this really messy divorce, and apparently it was very, very public. So everybody kind of knew what was going on, which is definitely not how I would want to deal with that situation, but it is what it is.
Yes, it is.
So the people that surrounded her noted that she began having a bizarre fascination with angels and demons and religion, just like in general. And this struck them as odd because Danielle had been pretty open about being completely non-religious and even often expressed how uninterested in religion she was. So she was one of those people that she wasn't super minded. So normally it's like the super religious people aren't super open-minded. But she was on, like, the opposite end of the spectrum where she wanted nothing to do with religion. She didn't want to hear anybody's testimonies or stories or whatever. She just was not having it.
Huh.
So this was a huge, huge turnaround.
Yeah, complete 180.
Yeah. So randomly, one day, Danielle approached her neighbor, who she only knew in passing. The neighbor said that they would say, hey, how are you? You know, when they entered and exited their homes, or they would wave. There was a couple of times where they went out with groups of friends together, but they were not close. So she approached her neighbor one day, and she went up to her and just stood in her doorway, staring into her eyes. And eventually the neighbor was like, can I help you? And she was like, oh, you're fine. I just wanted you to know you don't have any demons in you. And then walked away.
No.
Yeah. She said after that encounter, Danielle would, like, walk out of her home and see the neighbor and just be one of those really super weird girls who waves, like, really ferociously at her, like, to make sure she got her attention. And she would try to give her random gifts. And the neighbor just wasn't having it because she said she was, from what she remembered, she was a completely different person and definitely not in a good way.
Yeah, I'd move.
Yeah, most definitely, because that seems like stalker behavior.
See, that's exactly where my mind went. I was like, nah, don't need none of that.
On June 9th, 2012, Danielle got together a group of her students and had them meet her at the St. Petersburg Pier. This was super weird because she had never planned any field trips, and most of the times you have to have field trips approved by the school anyway, so that kind of struck the students as odd. The group of kids that she taught were between the ages of like 14 and 17, so they didn't really question it. They just kind of thought it was weird that she gathered just a small group of them to meet her at the St. Petersburg's Pier. So upon arrival, she started a fire under the pier. The kids were understandably confused as to why they were given no reason as to why they were there and had no idea what to expect. So if this was me and one of my teachers was like, hey, Katie, can you meet me under this pier or in this strange building after school? Absolutely not. I was not one of those kids that like followed the crowd. I was that kid that was like, hell no, not doing that. Let me know what happens. So Danielle eventually broke the awkward silence by telling her students she had gathered them under the pier to inform them that they needed to take part in a ritual because they were all infested with demons and needed to have exorcisms performed immediately.
Nope, 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 nope.
That, as soon as I saw that part, I was like, oh, this is not gonna end well for these kids, but
not even a little bit, and yeah. I hate it.
So Danielle led the teens in chanting and dancing around the fire. All of this seemed like, you know, just fun. They were having a blast until Danielle brought out a knife. She told the students they needed to make deep cuts all over their body to bleed the demons out. She wanted all of them to do it on their own, so she had like a few knives with her. And she basically told them they needed to make really deep cuts in very visible places on their body. So she wanted them to cut their faces, their necks, their arms, their legs, across their chest. And they just were not really into it.
Weird. I would think that the first thing you want to do as a child is dig knives deep into every part of your body.
Right?
Oh, my stomach is just turning. That sounds awful.
Yeah. So, of course, they hesitated to do so, and then Danielle ended up throwing perfume on one of them and lit their arm on fire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This caused second-degree burns to the student's arm and hand. She then broke a glass bottle and slashed another student across their back and then used a heated key to cauterize the wound. So after seeing all of this, the other students began to just take the knives and cut themselves because they knew if they didn't do it, then she would. And then they would take turns using that key to cauterize all their wounds. So in total, all of these kids ended up with cuts on their faces, feet, neck, arms, legs, and then of course the one that was across that one kid's back. And all of these were fairly easy to hide, except for, of course, the facial injury. But there was one kid who cut his neck on the side, like from the back of his head around the front to where his chin is. And that was super, super visible.
I'm surprised he's not dead. Okay.
Yeah. So after, you know, everybody did her ritual, they all went their separate ways. Nobody spoke about it. Nobody mentioned it to their parents. No one mentioned it to any of their friends, to other teachers. It just wasn't talked about. The next time this was brought up was when a student approached the kid who cut his neck and ended up asking about what happened. So as soon as he told him everything that happened, that kid went to his parents.
Hey, Rebecca, guess what?
What?
I got my heathen hippo candle in the mail today.
Really? So did I.
Yeah, so I got the fireside scent, and it is literally my favorite thing in the world right now.
I got my white tea and fig scent, and same.
Yeah, they're amazing. Not to mention, our cute little logo looks so good on the front of this candle.
I 100% agree, and I don't know. I want to send one to everyone.
Same. They're super affordable. They're natural because they're made out of soy.
And because they're made out of soy and they're natural, they burn evenly. There's no lingering smoky smell. And they even use my favorite wood wicks.
Yeah, so that nice little crackle. Oh my goodness.
Especially with fireside, I imagine that would be so nice.
Yeah, it's literally like I'm sitting next to a campfire in my cramped little studio. It's perfect.
I love it. So, guys, if you want one, there are 9 fragrances, 5 customizable font options, or you can get some of their really fun standard label options. They have some Joe Exotic ones that are calling my name. So, if you want to buy some of these adorable, affordable candles, go to Heathen Hippo on Etsy.
And you can use our little code, CTKPOD, and save 10%.
Yeah, so literally not seeing any reason you shouldn't do that.
So, head on over right now. Like, right now.
Right now, do it.
So I think maybe they were just waiting for someone to ask them so that it wasn't like they were tailing on her. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure they were probably afraid of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So news got out and all of the kids' parents got together and went to the police, of course. And were telling them about how their kids were acting strange and they felt like they were hiding things from them. And they told them about when they went and met their teacher under the pier. Of course, they didn't know that's what they were doing, but they told them there was a period of time where they were gone for like 4 hours and came back super late. And they told their parents that they had been in a study group with this teacher. So, of course, that was bullshit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And before going to the police, the parents contacted the school and was like, so my kid said that they were in a study group with this teacher at your school. They were out really late. What's up? And of course, nobody knew anything about what was going on. So they got the police and the parents, of course, wanted to press charges against her, but none of the kids would speak. When they would speak, they would say the wounds were self-inflicted, which technically that wasn't a lie, but they didn't tell the full story of her telling them they were infested with demons and that she wanted them to make these cuts on their bodies. So she told all of the parents she saved those kids and that the parents should be grateful, which would have just caused me to smack her right in the mouth.
Yeah.
Because you're a teacher, like you're supposed to keep these kids safe, and you did the exact opposite.
No, 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 Katie, I think you're misunderstanding. She said she saved them.
Yeah, sure she did.
So wait, this is like a 100% confirmed true story?
Yeah. Yikes. It's in like all of the Florida newspapers from 2012. It made national news. I don't remember seeing this, but I was also only 22 and in a heavy party phase, so that's probably why.
Oh, boy. Okay, continue on with this nightmare.
Yeah. So, Harkins was only found guilty of 1 count of child abuse, for which she received a 6-month sentence, and then her bail was set at $55,000. Well, of course, because none of her family wanted to be associated with this black job, nobody paid her bail. So she served the 6-month sentence. And then, of course, throughout the trial, none of the students spoke out about their teacher. They actually tried to stand up for her, which at that point is really odd to me, because if they were afraid of her, wouldn't you do something to get her put away unless they were afraid of her getting out? But I digress.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. As a kid, I don't know necessarily that you're thinking that far ahead of if she gets out.
I kind of also think maybe they felt sorry for her, because, I mean, they were in that teenage stage and they knew what she was going through, so maybe they were pitying her and didn't want her to go to jail, but I don't know.
That would be absolutely fucking insane, but a theory.
Yeah. So Danielle served her 6-month sentence, and then she was released. So the oddest part about this entire thing to me is nobody has any idea where she is. No one has heard from her. No one has seen her since she was released. So 2012, that's been 8 years now. She hasn't had any contact with anyone. There would have been no reason, like, she wouldn't have went into witness protection or anything like that. So maybe she changed her name. I don't really know, but no one has seen, heard anything about her. No one can track her down. So that's super weird and creepy to me, because she's just out wandering around somewhere.
That's terrifying. What if she somehow managed to get into some kind of teaching position again?
That's what I was worried about, because I don't want anybody to feel like I'm knocking any sort of teaching position, but it's fairly easy to get a daycare teaching position.
Mm-hmm. My mom was one for a while.
Especially if you have a teaching background. So that's what worries me, because you can make small children believe whatever you want them to believe. So, and then another thing is, I feel like she should have had to immediately go into some kind of counseling, because obviously she was off her fucking rocker. So for the court to not even order her go through counseling or seek therapy or anything like that was just really odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the final question in this case is, what do you think happened? Do you think she was just depressed? Did she experience a psychotic break? Do you think she could actually tell when people were possessed? So what are your views on this story?
How old did you say she was?
35.
Because my mind initially went to possibly the onset of schizophrenia, which typically occurs around like 25-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she's a little on the late end of that.
Yeah, so I was thinking that her divorce triggered some kind of psychotic break. I couldn't find why they were divorced, which is really strange to me, because everything that I read said that the divorce was very public, so that all the information was released or whatever as far as why they were getting divorced, what the settlement was, all of that. But I couldn't find anything about why they got divorced. So I'm wondering if maybe she started experiencing some of these things. And like you said, schizophrenia generally takes hold at like 25 to maybe 30. So what if she started experiencing these symptoms while she was married and her husband couldn't handle it and he just never spoke out about it, and the divorce was just the final straw to like push her over the edge?
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. And again, guys, we're not saying that if you have schizophrenia, you're automatically going to go get children to cut their bodies open. It's rare, but it happens. But we know you can be perfectly, perfectly functioning member of society.
Yeah. You just have to know how to handle your illness and recognize the triggers, and you can live a perfectly normal life. But if you go untreated, you don't know what's going on, you go undiagnosed, and those around you have no idea of what's going on. Of course, if you start acting out or start acting quote unquote crazy, I hate using that word when it comes to mental illness, but people aren't going to take you as serious because you don't know what's going on, so how can you explain it to someone else?
Yeah, or in shorter terms, Kanye West.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, moral of this story, please keep a close watch on your mental health. If you ever start feeling off or anything like that, definitely get it checked out, because you don't want to end up in a situation like this.
Yeah, absolutely not. Were you just scratching something?
No.
Okay.
What did you hear?
There was just a very audible.
Yeah, and all of my dogs are asleep, so.
Don't like that.
I'm kind of starting to wonder if that has anything to do with how I'm feeling, because I didn't feel good at work today, but as soon as I walked in my house, I felt awful, like awful.
I mean, it could also be like a mindset thing where at home, you know, you can shut off, like, because at work you have to put on this facade of it doesn't matter what's happening, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And then you get home and that facade instantly just comes like crashing down. So it could be that, or it could be demons and I hate it.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Did you have anything to wrap up, or was that?
That was pretty much it. If anybody knows anything about Danielle or has seen any information about her, please send it to us, because I'm pretty curious as to what happened to her or where she went. Did she change her name? What's she doing now? Is she teaching? So if anybody has any information on her, I would love to read it.
Yeah. Katie, are there photos of her available on the interwebs?
There are. And she... You can tell the difference between her before all of this started going on and the photos after. She has, like, super crazy eyes in her later photos. And she has that, like, in her, all of her later pictures, she does that really creepy thing where she, like, looks down, but she's looking up at the camera and you can still see all of her teeth.
Oof.
Yeah, she looks super fucking crazy.
All right. Well, I will post those photos on our Facebook and Patreon and maybe Instagram if I remember. I'm really bad at keeping Instagram updated, you guys. I tried, though. So if you would like, you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at
CTKPod.
You can join our Facebook group at
CTKPodcast.
You can also support us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/CTKPod. And our newest development is you can send us mail. So you can make the mail out to Chills, Thrills, and Kills or to me or Katie individually. So I would be Rebecca Rosewood. Katie would be Katie Whited. And you can do that to 520 North Ventu Park Road, number 273, Newberry Park, California, 91320.
And you can also send any listener tales, any updates on any cases, any information you just want us to know. You can send that to us in a email at chillsthrillsandkills@gmail.com.
We'll forgive you because you don't feel well.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We hope you liked it. I know I definitely did. So until next time.
Bye.
Bye.